And we're joined now by Gavin Guerra, producer and director of Let the People Decide, a new documentary film. And Gavin will also be leading a workshop, a Be the Media workshop through the Sanctuary for Independent Media online this Friday. Welcome to the show, Gavin.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So this is your first feature-length documentary. Can you tell us about your process for this documentary and how you came up with the idea for the film?
Sure. The idea sort of came to me, meaning that I've always had a great interest in 20th century American history. And growing up in New York, it was, you know, we in Queens, where I've been living for the last 20 years or had been living, it's very multicultural, very multi-ethnic. You know, we like to think of ourselves as racially awakened in a lot of ways. And then I read this book by Taylor Branch called Parting the Waters, the Pulitzer Prize winning book, first part of a trilogy on the civil rights movement. And it made my head explode because I didn't know any of this stuff. Like, I literally didn't know any of it. And it occurred to me that growing up as a boy in the 70s and 80s, that you're not really taught any of it. I mean, you're really taught about, you know, Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks and the bus and the March on Washington, maybe a little bit of Malcolm X, and that's kind of it, you know. And I was introduced to so many other people in this book that just really threw me for a loop. In fact, what was really interesting was a lot of the characters I knew in a different context. I knew them as later life characters, like Andrew Young was the mayor of Atlanta or the ambassador to the UN. Maybe people don't know that he was Martin Luther King's right-hand man. Marion Barry was the mayor of Washington, D.C. Didn't know he was, you know, head of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee at its inception. You know, John Lewis, etc. All these people got their start in the civil rights movement. And then the one character that really fascinated me above all others was a man named Bob Moses. And as a New Yorker, you know, Bob Moses is the guy that built the Triborough Bridge. It's a different guy. Never heard of this guy, the civil rights leader. And he was in charge of the voter registration drive in Mississippi in the early 1960s that led to Freedom Summer, which many people who don't know the stories might have seen the film Mississippi Burning, which was very loosely based on events in Mississippi in 1964. So to make a long story longer, I read this book and I kept trying to get my documentary film friends to make a movie about Bob Moses. And none of them were interested in doing so, not because they didn't find him interesting, just because they were on other projects. So I left it, you know, as is, until I went to an event at the Museum of the Moving Image in Astoria, Queens, that featured the cast of Roots, which was the big miniseries on slavery in the 1970s. And LeVar Burton and Leslie Uggams and Ben Vereen and Lou Gossett Jr. were all in attendance, and they were giving great recountings of being a Black actor during that time. And then they kind of took issue with the idea, because this was in the winter of 2013, right after Obama was sworn in for his second term, and words like post-racial society were being bandied about, and they were really not okay with that. And they wanted us to know that if we felt that we were, like, racism was done, that we had more thinking to do. And then they challenged the audience, and they said, what are you doing today to make the world a more socially equitable and just place? And I really took that to heart instantly. And I turned to my friend who I was attending the event with, and I said, I'm going to make this movie about Bob Moses. To which he predictably replied, who's Bob Moses? Right. And yeah. So that was that long story. And I apologize for how long it was, that was really the first step. Like, this movie was born out of that moment.
So Bob Moses, an untold figure of the civil rights movement and, you know, other untold parts of that history. Can you give us the essence of the film, Let the People Decide?
Sure. The movie I ended up making was not necessarily the movie I started out to make. So it started out as a tale about Bob Moses and the voting rights struggles in Mississippi in the 1960s, fundamentally changed when the Supreme Court handed down the Shelby versus Holder decision in June of 2013, which effectively gutted a large portion of the Voting Rights Act of 1965. And so in essence, it sort of undid a lot of the work that Bob Moses and his cohort set out to do, you know, and the achievements that they gained through their blood, sweat, and tears. So it became instantly a then and now narrative. So because as soon as that Supreme Court decision came down, a lot of really onerous voting restrictions were put into place almost within days, right? And so a lot of states started instituting measures designed on their surface to protect the integrity of the election, but in actuality erected barriers to certain voting blocks from exercising their right to vote. So I set out to connect the dots between the early 1960s and today to show how we got to where we are and what a lot of the dialogue we're having today didn't just erupt from a vacuum. It's part of the social fabric of our country and always has been. And I think oftentimes these discussions we have about politics and culture wars, they lack that historical context. And I don't think that people really understand, where we're sitting in history right now and how we got here. And I think that the essence of my film is really to educate the electorate just, you know, as to what the issues are, and that, you know, what's old is new again, and there's very little new under the sun. Although I must confess to not really seeing the scuttling of the post office coming. I really thought that's definitely a new card being played in this game. But it's in keeping with a history of really trying to manipulate who can vote and how to maintain power in this country.
There's going to be two events on Friday. There's going to be a Be the Media workshop with you, talking about the ins and outs of making the film and constructing a narrative using archived footage. Then after that, there's going to be a town hall with you and co-sponsors who support voting rights, who are out doing outreach in the community. We're less than 50 days now out from the election, and the stakes really seem higher than ever. What light does the film shine on the Supreme Court issue of having a new Supreme Court nominee possibly confirmed before the election?
Well, I don't know necessarily that it addresses that issue directly, other than the Supreme Court decision of 2013 played a very strong role in the everyday life of people, right? So the Supreme Court is meant to be apolitical. Clearly that ship has sailed. But, you know, the idea that what the Supreme Court did, and it's kind of a complicated thing that's laid out in my film. They basically invalidated a section of the Voting Rights Act and kicked it back to Congress and said, you know what, you guys need to fix this. And then all the provisions of the Voting Rights Act will be made whole. And that was 7 years ago, and Congress has yet to even address it. They haven't even brought it up, right? They're not interested in doing it. However, right, now there's talk in the news just yesterday, today, right, that the president is hoping that the Supreme Court will decide the election and invalidate mail-in ballots and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So he's hoping that these are his guys, right, or girls or whomever, that the federal court is basically an arm of you know, a political branch. John Roberts, who is sort of villainized a bit in the film for his antipathy towards the Voting Rights Act, has sort of shifted his stance a little bit to sort of defend the integrity and independence of the judiciary. I don't think he's much of a fan of the president, but you know, the Supreme Court is going to play a role because, you know, as is laid out in the film, the president won the last election and still cried foul, right? He still claimed there was voter fraud because he lost the popular vote, and that did not sit well with him. So, of course, the only way he could have lost the popular vote is with millions of illegal votes that, you know, were brought in from Mexico or wherever. So he's laying the groundwork again for that, right? So that he's delegitimizing the process in a way that lays, you know, like I said, lays the groundwork for him to cry foul again, you know, should he lose. And then it will have to go through some sort of a legal process and challenges, and the makeup of the court will likely play a role in that. If it's, you know, if they are truly apolitical, we'll find out, although it's not looking very, very promising.
So Friday's online Be the Media workshop with you. Tell us what participants can expect to get out of that workshop.
I hope to explain to people how my process worked, right? Now, being a first-time director, you don't really know what you don't know. And so you set about doing it the best way you can. And I have decades of experience in post-production as a visual effects supervisor. And I kind of think in a very visual way. And so I really worked... I worked at it from the visual end of things, and stringing chapters together in a way that made a sense to me. Because here's one of the challenges of making a historical documentary is visual support, right? I had a lot of people telling me a lot of interesting stories, but I didn't have any pictures to go with them, right? So how long can you keep a talking head on screen before people just feel like they're attending a lecture instead of watching a movie? And so it was very important to do a lot of archival research and find a lot of footage and photographs to support the, you know, to support the dialogue. And I had to throw out whole sections of my film that I just didn't have support from. So that process of working the footage to fit the narrative is sort of my process, or what I imagine what most documentary filmmakers go through, but I can certainly walk through how I did it.
So again, that workshop, it's a Be the Media workshop hosted by the Sanctuary for Independent Media with filmmaker Gavin Guerra, who we've been speaking to. It's a free workshop online this Friday from 4 to 5 p.m. You can register at mediasanctuary.org or facebook.com/mediasanctuary. You can find the event there. When you register, you'll get a link to Gavin's film, Let the People Decide. You'll be able to watch the film for free prior to the workshop. And then at 7 p.m. on Friday, there will be a Let the People Decide town hall. We'll be joined by Gavin once again, as well as our co-sponsors for the events, including the NAACP of Troy and the League of Women Voters. So Gavin Guerra, thank you for joining us today on the Hudson Mohawk Magazine, and we really are looking forward to your workshop on Friday.
Thank you very much for having me. I look forward to it as well.